Good morning, folks, and welcome. We're real happy that our day has turned out as well as it has. This morning and last night, I don't know, I guess you got some snow last night. It was snowing at our house, and they was talking about up in Ohio getting snow. And there were some people thought, boy, we might have slick roads this morning and not be able to come together and to praise God. And so we're just blessed. So we're glad to see you here. Glad that we're able to be here. And just let's praise God together. Welcome in the name of the Lord. I want to share with you, I know you probably read it this week time a couple times, maybe. And I just want to share with you this morning, as we begin our worship service, a part of the Christmas story taken from chapter 2 of the book of Luke reads like this. And it came to pass in those days that they went out a decree from Caesar Augusta that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Serenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee to the out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that when they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And so she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and glory of the Lord shone upon around about them, and they were sore afraid. An angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is to be to all people." Isn't that what? To all people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of hosts, heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, that the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them about the child, concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising for all the things that they had heard and seen. It was told unto them. We are here this morning to praise God for all the things that we've seen and all the things that we've heard about this wonderful Savior, this babe born in Bethlehem. Let us do it together this morning.
For him worships, room using number 117, sing the first and fourth verse and do above the ever prayer. This whole thing.
And in nature see. continues to bring us morning's message and forgive us when we fail. And if you work the way I stand, amen.
For communion, hymn music number 160. Sing the first and last verse.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day, thankful for the people that has come this way to come to Porter, to come together as a church family, to honor you, to worship Heavenly Father. And Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have this table instituted by the Lord Jesus himself, recognizing the need that we would have to have, that we needed to have this to keep us fresh in mind your wonderful love and the great sacrifice at Calvary that Jesus went through for mankind. So as we partake of these emblems, help us always to be reminded of your love. Help us, Heavenly Father, to know that the cost was so great, but Jesus was willing to withstand it on our behalf. So we're so thankful for that now. Now, Heavenly Father, bless us as we partake in remembrance of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you, folks. A couple of things to share with you this morning. We have a couple cards, and this is from Paula Fay. And she says, to my Porter Church family, I wish everyone the best Christmas ever. I believe this because God always keeps his promise. Always, even though it sounds at sometimes hard for us to see. Thank you for always caring for me. I pray for my church and family always. Love to all, Paula Fay. Have the happiest Christmas and New Year ever. Love, Paula Fay. Also, we have a card comes to us from Eileen Challenge. Says, greetings of the season and best wishes to all. A happy New Year. And so there's folks out there that can thank you for your caring about them and concern about them, and they want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. On behalf of Maxine and I, we certainly thank you folks for this past year and for being so good and kind to us. And It's so good to be among people like you who care and love each other and want the best for each other. And we thank you for that. And we just feel so good to be a part of this family here at Porter. Thank you for that. Okay, let's look at some other things in our list here. We have Joanne Sott with us this morning. I don't think she's sick. She's probably with family. I haven't heard she's been sick because we have several others that are out that are sick. And then Frankie Wallace, this young man, was a Christmas gift to a couple people back there. Oh, there he is back there. Frankie, you must come in after I come from the back here. Welcome, buddy. Welcome. I haven't seen you for a while. I've been hearing about all the good things you're doing and the hard work you're doing, and we appreciate that. Matt's been back with us a little while. And he's a hard-working college guy. All these young people back there going to college and getting all this good education, going to do all these good things. That's great. And the glory of God will get the glory from it. Thank you. Good to see you. Okay, happy birthday, Frankie. He's got to be quite a young man. Okay, a lot of activities taking place today and over the weekend, and then of course tomorrow being the recognized birth of Jesus. And we're not sure what day Jesus was born, whether it's December or not, but we know he was born. And so this day, we look to him as his birthday, and we celebrate that, God's greatest gift to mankind, his very own son. And so we hope that you will have a safe holiday season, that you will have a blessed, good holiday season because of Jesus. All right, let's see. Okay, next week will be the last Sunday of this year. I was thinking next week give you an opportunity to start your year off right, so we'll talk about that next week then. All right. So next week we do have one more Sunday in this month. Anything that maybe that's important that you'd like to share with the church family, anybody?
I might have missed it, but where is Virginia?
She's cooking.
Virginia, where is she?
Oh, Virginia is cooking. Virginia is cooking for her guests.
Kim is ill.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to get to them just a minute. Thank you, though. We're still on the announcements. If anybody has something they want to share in a good way, all right? Thank you. Now let's turn to our prayer list and talk about them, some of those things. First of all, I was over visit with Vi and Dale this week, and I was really surprised. I don't know about you, Ada, that Dale looked good complexion-wise. Of course, he's not well, and he can't, his breath and so forth, he can't breathe and can't get away, and he hasn't been out of the house for a long time. But boy, he looked better this week than he had just a while back when I saw him. So he just looked his complexion and so forth. So we had a good visit with them and a good time. I drove up there and the garage door was open. And I thought, well, Vi had gone to the grocery store maybe and carrying in groceries. And so I knocked on the door and she said, how did you get in here? I said, you left the door open. they're cute. But they look like they're doing better than they had been, and praise the Lord for it. And I just couldn't get over Dell. His complexion looks so much brighter and so forth. So keep praying for those people, and hopefully that Vi can be able to be back with us maybe the beginning of the year and so forth, and maybe he'll get strengthened up. You know, God is good, and God works good things for people, and he answers your prayers. So just keep praying. All right, and let's see who else. We have absent from us, yes, Kim is sick. We have absent from us Virgil. Those are two people that is like most of you, that's here all the time. When the door's open, they're here, and so we really miss them. We miss anybody that's not here, but those are people that just are here every time the door's open, and we hate to see them sick, and especially today as we come near the end of the year and celebrating the birth of Christ and so forth, and they're all caught up in all the beauty and of it, and for them to be sick, and we pray that they will be well. We have, while I'm on, Homer Hensley, as we got him on our list, and keep him in mind. And boy, he's got a terrible thing happening. We hope that they can work something out for him. And then the rest of our people on the prayer list, down the line, let's see, who else is here? And then, is it Walter?
William.
Yeah, okay, I can't read my own writing, I don't know. William Harper, who is a friend of Bergen's, who is a retired police officer, and he has just had a heart attack. And so you can imagine what that has hit the family with at this time of the year, to be ill or something like that to happen. Pray earnestly for that family, and certainly we will, that God will help them, bless them. Who else is on here that we... Pauline's with us. We're so glad of that. You had someone else. I believe I picked this up. You had Susan Glass's husband. Okay, do we have her on there? All right. And a number of people. Our neighbor, good fella. I think I mentioned him that he was ill here a while back. And just a dandy fella, and he's a retired state policeman from years back, and then he also worked there in the funeral home at Stanley some, but he passed away this week, and so they're holding over till Tuesday and Wednesday. I think Tuesday is visitation, Wednesday is funeral. So if you will, keep that family in your prayers. She's not well. They were both in the hospital at the same time, and there for about a week time, they were both in the hospital at the same time. And so she's out, but not well. So pray for that family, if you will. Let's see, anyone else that we want to... We're concerned about everybody, and we care for that for everybody. And we just pray that Lord would bless them and all the things they do. Anybody else? Our service people, certainly we know it's a sad time for them, but hopefully and the Lord will just bless them in a good way, and they'll be able to enjoy joyful holiday season. Care home people, we talk about them every week, but boy, I mean, I know you think about them, keep on your mind, but boy, has to be a tough time for them. People that leads our nation, Satan is against all that's taking place, and he would do anything to squelch it, so pray against the attacks that he has. Pray that this season, this holiday season, this special holiday season, that we won't have terroristic things happen. Satan be put down. God bless. God bless each and every one of you as we come to our prayer time then.
For prayer hymn, we're using number 121, sing the first and fourth verse, and I will have the first. That's all, Steve.
There's a song in the air, there's a star in the sky, there's a mother's deep prayer, and a baby's old bride, and a star ranges far while a beautiful scene on the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. We rejoice in the light, and we echo the song that comes down to the night from the heavenly throne. A shout to the lovely evening will they bring, and we greet in the cradle our Savior and King.
Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this another opportunity granted us together in your house on the Lord's Day. Be with us now for the exercise of service. Be with the ones mentioned on the prayer list. Restore them back to their normal health again. Be with Benny as he brings a message. Go with us now and guide and direct us and save us in the ends. Our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The invitation hymn would be number 345.
Okay. So I heard this song a couple weeks ago, and I fell in love with it. And if you all don't mind, I want to sing it for y'all today. So, is it not on? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This precious little baby has come to save you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hands? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the deaf will hear the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is the Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy has come to save us all? When you kiss your little baby, he is the great I Am.
Thank you, Sierra. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. What a joyful time of the year, and when we think about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, it ought to bring joy to the heart and lives of anybody that certainly that knows anything about him, appreciates him so very much. What a joy. What a joyous time to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing those songs, Joy to the World, and certainly I would that, you know, that I wish the world just had, how can I say, knew Jesus so well that just the whole world could just be full of glory, you know. Just like the shepherds when they came and the whole host sang and the glory of the Lord just shone everywhere. But you folks, you shine for the Lord wherever you are. During this holiday season, I know you'll do good with that, that you will certainly bring honor and glory to God as we enjoy this holiday season. How do you... What do you do at Christmas time? Miss Jones, a school teacher, asked a couple of her students, said, Patrick Murphy, what do you do at Christmas time? He said, well, and said, my 12 brothers and sisters and I, we go to Mass, and said, we come home and we put mincemeat pie by the back door and we hang our stockings and we go to bed and wait for Father Christmas to bring our toys. And then so she, Miss Jones said, well, that's very good. And said, Jimmy Brown, what do you do for Christmas? And he said, well, we do about the same thing. My sister and I go and we go to Mass with my mom and dad. And we sing songs and so forth. And we come home very late and said, then we put some milk and cookies by the chimney, by the fireplace there. And then we hang our stockings and we go to bed waiting then and excited about the gifts that we're going to receive. And the teacher said, well, that's very well. And she happened to remember there was a Jewish boy in the class, and she didn't want him to feel left out. And she said, Isaac Cohen, what do you do at Christmas? And he said, well, about the same thing every year. Said, my dad comes home from the office, And we get in the Rolls Royce and we go down to his factory. And when we go in the factory, we look at all the empty shelves and we start singing. They sing the song that says, you know, thanks to Jesus. And then we go to the Bahamas. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry I messed that up. Okay, but anyhow, you know, as beautiful as Christmas is, it's not all about gifts. It's not all about decorations. It's not all about trees, you know. It really isn't about families and all the fun times. And it's certainly not about Santa Claus and the snowmen and the elves and the reindeers. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. That's the psalm. Jesus is what Christmas is all about. The night that Jesus was born was the greatest moment in human history. The night he was born, the greatest moment in human history. It was a night that was just tremendous miracles, great blessings. It was a night that God moved upon the earth. When you stop to think about it, and I think I've said this before, it was a night that God moved upon the earth, upon the world, to send his son as a babe, born of a virgin, the Virgin Mary, to live among men, to die on a cruel cross, to save people from their sins. That's Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about. There is a famous painting. I've read about it. I haven't seen it. And it's called The Census. And it's a picture of Bethlehem at Christmas time. And it shows all these people gathered around a stand there in the middle of the street. And they're tarred, traveled, and their government has set up a stand to collect names for them to register. And they had traveled and they're tarred and they were old people, young people, rich people, poor people standing in line. A glorious sight. And if you didn't really pay attention, they say, you would miss it. And down in the right-hand corner, there is a small picture, hard to see and probably missed because of all the other sight there. Is a man tugging on a donkey, and on the donkey is riding a very pregnant woman. You know, Christmas is a very busy time. And it's easy to lose sight of the real meaning of Christmas. We need today, I think, is a new perspective of Christmas. It's too many, it's just so, that's the way it is. Comes around every year. We do this and that, and that's what it is. We celebrate the birth of Jesus. That's the meaning of Christmas. But I think we really need, as a church, as a people, as a nation, as a world, we probably need a new perspective of Jesus. It's hard sometimes for us to see because of all the things that's taking place. And we want to see. I read a story about this man. And this man decided on Friday night he would just cash his paycheck and he would go on a fishing trip with his buddies unannounced. And he didn't call home. And his wife wondered where he went, where he was, what happened to him. And all weekend, she just wondered what happened. And lo and behold, on Sunday night, well, he come dragging in. Terrible looking mess, loss of sleep, too much to drink. And boy, she lit in on him. I mean, They say she give it to him. 2 hours she really laid into him. Because of his nonsense behavior. And she said, after a while, she just stopped. And then she said, how would you like not to see me for 3 days? And he was kind of put out a little bit because she got on him pretty hard. And he just said, well, that'd be all right with me. Monday went by and he didn't see his wife. Tuesday, Wednesday went by and same thing, didn't see why. About noon on Thursday, the swelling had gone down, so he could just barely see her out of the lower corner of his left eye. You know, sometimes we just don't want to, we don't see things that we need to see. I'm sure that that man had a different perspective of life after that. And that's what we need, I think, a new perspective. We need to see Jesus as he really is. And Matthew records for us, and when you read Matthew, you kind of get the idea you're looking through the eyes of Joseph. And you read the book of Luke that we just shared some with, and really we're seeing Jesus through the eyes of Mary. Mark, we see Jesus through the eyes of Peter. Now, Mark didn't see Jesus. The other writers did. At the time we're talking about, we're about 68 years old, and past that when we talk about Mark. And Mark's a young man, so he's only 20 years or so old. So that leaves him, he's born a long time after Jesus ascended. So he gets his information and we read that. Well, I see he writes through the eyes of Peter. John, a little different. John's gospel is different in several ways. He doesn't mention the birth at Bethlehem. Among the different events and teachings, John's, there is a main purpose. How many of you know the main purpose of John's writing? You don't have to tell me. If you think you know the main purpose of John's writing, raise your hand. And I'll tell you and you'll see if you're right, you know. Okay, nobody? Nobody wants to remain surrounded. You don't know the main purpose? If you look in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, you'll see the main purpose for John's gospel. And it's like this. That and many other signs did Jesus before his disciples. In the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing that you might have life through his name. That's John's main reason for writing. But this morning, I want us to see a little bit different perspective of Jesus. As I said, John doesn't write about the Bethlehem at all. When it comes to Christmas, John, you know, when it comes to Christmas and reading John, you wonder whether he knows anything about shepherds. You wonder, you know, if John, he doesn't know much about history of the birth of Jesus, maybe, but he does. He gives us, though, a good perspective of Jesus. And that's what I don't think John is so much concerned about us knowing the history of Jesus. And that's really what is told with the Bible story. It tells the history of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it comes on up, we get to history. John's not so much for us to be interested or to give us the history. He wants us to know who Jesus is and why he came. Many know the Christmas story, but they really don't know Jesus, and they really don't know why he came. But John wants us to know that. So he records for us the meaning of these events in his passage. And Who Jesus was matters more than anything else. All the great historic stories that is told, and there are some great stories of history and great things that has happened in this nation and in the world, but there's no event that has so powerfully affected life on earth or life of humanity as the story of Jesus. Children from their youth are taught about the babe born in Bethlehem. They're taught that that's what Christmas is about. Christmas is about this babe in Bethlehem, Jesus being born into the world. And I conceive that not only many children, but a great many of adults, and you know, even some that proclaims religious, real religiously, and believe they have a good understanding of Jesus, you know that some of them even only believe that Jesus came in existence in Bethlehem as a babe in a manger. That's hard to think because of what you know now, but that's what many believe. They just see Jesus as what Matthew and Luke writes about, the babe in a manger. Babe in a manger. John wants us to see more. He wants us to get a better perspective of Jesus. And he does that very well. You might say, well, if John doesn't write about the birth of Bethlehem, Christmas time, well, why would you use the book of John then for a message for Christmas time? Well, I think, you know, that teaches us a real perspective of Jesus. You know, I believe it reveals the heart of Jesus. He reveals the meaning and the benefits of Christian story. Listen to what John writes in verse 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. What is John saying? John is saying that babe born in the manger, born there in the stable at Bethlehem, he existed. Long way back. He just didn't come present then. That's not the first of him. Many people, I say again, and I would that they would understand differently, many people believe that that's where Jesus began. That was the existence of Jesus. John says no. So John writes about the events here, explains the events of Luke and Matthew here. And he says he was in the beginning. He was with God, he says. He's referring to Jesus as the Word, saying Jesus exists before the story of Bethlehem. Jesus was from the beginning, Jesus was with God, and Jesus was in the beginning. That's what John says. He teaches us that Jesus always was, always is, always will be. He is the eternal one, everlasting one, always existing one. John, in verse 14, Jesus says the Word, he's speaking of the eternal one, speaking of Jesus, speaking of the babe born in Bethlehem, and he says this, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him, the glory of the Father. Now, I know where John writes that from, that line from. John, when he writes that, he's got in his mind where the transfiguration. We beheld his glory, he says there. So he wants us to see. Oh, yes, we want to see the babe at Bethlehem, but we want to see the glory of God that was manifested through that. And John says, this eternal one was made flesh and come and dwelt among us, he says. He came to earth in human flesh. John says the eternal one left the glories of heaven to come to dwell on earth to show us, teach us about God. He lived among men that we might know God. Why would he leave heaven? Yes, that we might know God. Why would he leave this holy place, the splendor of heaven, and come to earth? Well, John tells us that. We don't see that in Matthew and Luke. It doesn't explain. But John explains now why that babe was born. And he says, because the world was so dark. The world was darkened by sin. Much like today. You know, when I think about all the hundreds, thousands, millions, jillions, billions, jillions of lights that will be flicked on tonight when it gets dark. But there's still darkness in the world. The world was so dark with sin that brought Jesus. And look what he says here. Jesus looked upon the world so dark and knew it needed light. And he wanted to be that light. And John says that here to us in verse 1 through. All things came. Well, he says, speaks here in 1 and 3. Says that all things were made by him. Not anything was made without him. All that was made. And in verse 4 he says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus is the light of the world. We sing that song, he's the light of the world. Jesus looked upon the earth and saw the darkness of the earth, and he wanted to bring light to it. You know, Jesus looks upon people's lives today. I know that there's people at Christmas time really aren't blessed like you. Don't have the joy that you have at Christmas time. For some people, it's a very sad time. There's darkness in their life. It could be because of misfortune in various ways. It could be because of the sin they participated in. Various things can bring darkness to people's lives. And Jesus wants to be the light that lights up your life. And look what he says here. That Jesus is eternal one. He left the glories of heaven. He come to dwell among men. Why? Because he wanted to be the light. John 12 and 46, Jesus said, I've come a light into the world. Listen, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. He is the light that shines in the darkness. I conclude the fact that regardless of a person's life, and I've heard people talk about their life, and when they tell about their life, it can't get too much darker. And I'm quite sure that probably most of you have experienced dark times in your life when you just thought there was no hope and no future. All things is gone. But this Jesus can shine. He's the light of the world. And that light can shine in your life and just make a different perspective out of everything. In Acts 26 and 18, this is where Saul met Jesus. And Saul makes a statement here. And he says that Jesus told him, we know him as Paul now. And he says, Jesus told him, I want you to go. I'm sending you to open the eyes of people and turn them from darkness to light. And from powers of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them which sanctified by faith is in him, Jesus. What is he saying? He said, Paul, I want you to go. I want you to tell them of the love of God for mankind. I want you to tell you that I was willing to go to the cross for them, die in their stead, open up their eyes, give them a perspective of what life is really about. Open their eyes so they can see, what the song says. Christmas means no matter how evil, no matter how dark the situation is, the light of God still shines, and it can shine into people's lives. It can shine in this world. I hope it's shining in your life. Who can really experience this light? That, I guess, is another question. People across the nation this weekend will be having parties of all kinds. They'll be celebrating in all kinds of ways. But who really is experiencing the light in their lives? Well, John tells us that. 1:10 and 12. Listen to what he says. He, speaking of Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. John puts it pretty simple, doesn't he? Those who reject Jesus will never see the light. Now what he's saying? They didn't know him. Didn't receive him. They're not going to experience the light. But he goes on to say, people like you, he came into his own name, but as many as received him, you have received him. You're the receptors of the light that shines in the world. And oh, we could use that verse that Jesus said, you're the light of the world, and you ought to shine in the light in the world, you know. But I don't want to go there. We just want to know this. John says, look, Jesus knew the darkness that's in the world. He knows the darkness that's in people's lives. He came to be a light to shine the goodness in people's lives. And he sent Paul out. He said, Paul, you go to tell the world. Open their eyes that they may see. Not just out of the left-hand corner, right-hand corner. Let them have a full sight of who Jesus is and why he came. Let them see Jesus, who he truly is. Because no matter what the condition might be, whatever the situation might be, Jesus can still shine light into your life. You know, you've heard people and a couple of people here has told me this. You know, I just didn't think God would save me. My life, and when I look at it, I didn't think that there was any hope for me. But isn't it wonderful? You come to know Jesus, who's the light of the world, the babe at Bethlehem, who pre-existed, who is the eternal one, who has the power to bring you into the family of God, and he brought light into your life. And that's why you shine so much in here. You just would, sometimes I'd like for you to stand up here and see, look out there and see the glow on your own people's face when you're thinking about the Lord and when you're considering here and you're worshiping God. And I see the shine, not just because you got a bald head, but your face shines. You know, it really is. And I say, that is the light of Jesus shining in those people. They're here to worship him and so forth. It's wonderful, isn't it? And so, no person's life can become so dark that Jesus can't lighten it up. Amen. And I hope this Christmas season that people seeing all the lights and all the sounds, if they're living in darkness, might they see the light, might they receive the light, might they enjoy the light. Who can see the light? That means you and I, because we believe in him. We received him. So as beautiful as Christmas is, and Christmas is a beautiful time, I mean to just see all the colors and the lights and the excitement and things are taking place, it's a beautiful time. It's a beautiful story when you read Matthew and Luke and the other accounts here that we have of Jesus. It's a beautiful story of Jesus as at Christmas time. Christmas speaks of not only Jesus' birth, you know what it speaks? It speaks about your birth. It speaks about your birth. you being born into the family of God. Jesus is the very embodiment of God's grace, takes on human flesh that we could come to know of the unknown God, our Heavenly Father, and see ourselves as children of God. That's what Christmas is about. Yeah. Isn't that a little more important than just gifts under a tree? Yes, it is. That's what Christmas is all about. So I hope and I pray, yeah, that the world will celebrate Christmas and come to understand who Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem, is. And I hope they get a perspective on really what John says. Because, you know, I can try to imagine, if you just consider Jesus, and he was born a babe in Bethlehem, that was his existence, that's the only existence he had from then on. It'd be great, But John tells us something greater, doesn't he? Because listen, this eternal one that always existed, made everything, not anything made without him, shines in the world, rushes the darkness away. He's ever, forever. He's here today. He'll always be. And there will always be the opportunity for anyone who wants to receive him. The only opportunity that won't be is if you miss it, if you miss him. Today he gives opportunity to come into people's lives and shine and put a new perspective in your life, change all things around you. I hope that many would do that this year. The real gift of Christmas is a new identity. I like that song, you know, that some sing, I'm not the man I used to be, you know. That's what Christmas is. It's a new identity. It's really a new identity of who God is and who Christ is, but it's also a new identity of who you are, of all humanity. It's a new opportunity. A new humanity of all the possibilities through the babe of Jesus there at Bethlehem. We don't have time and you don't have enough paper to write down the possibilities of this babe of Bethlehem who always existed, what he has for you and for me. So this Christmas gift of Christmas, this is the gift of Christmas. And it deserves our full attention. Not only the day, but every day. Every day of your life. I again wish you the merriest Christmas that you ever had. Because it's all built around Christ. The birth of the Christ child. But I hope that you will see him day by day. The eternal one. The ever-existing one. Who has died for you, who is living to bless you day by day. If you haven't come to know Jesus in a very special way, he can change your life. Come and let him do it today as we stand together. Thank you for being in the Lord's house. You know, there's some folks today are absent from the worship services across the nation because they have other things that they're doing and more important things they think to do. But I don't know of anything more important for us to do than to be in the house of God to worship this one born in Bethlehem, Jesus our Savior. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of that. May you have a great weekend, a great week in the Lord, we pray. Might you have blessings beyond your imagination every day of your life. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we really thank you for the story of Jesus. As Matthew tells and Luke tells us of the birth there at Bethlehem. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for the new perspective that John puts on it. That takes us and introduces us to this eternal one that can always be and always has been and always will be. And he's always able to help us. Might he help each and every one here present here today have the greatest week they ever had because of this one born at Bethlehem in the manger there. We pray in his name. Amen.